The headlines at 4 o'clock. Liz Truss is now the 56th Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. She'll address the nation in the next half hour or so. I'm Declan Harvey, live this evening from Westminster. Ms. Truss has been to Scotland. She's just gotten back to the capital in the last few moments. But this evening, it's down to business.
The new Prime Minister is still sorting out who's going to be in her cabinet. I'm Richard Morgan in the studio in Belfast and will bring you the announcements as they are made. Also on the programme, gas bills for 100,000 people here will go up by more than 50%. Sinn Féin's Michelle O'Neill said the firmest price hike was staggering and catastrophic.
You can react to anything you're hearing on the programme, and we have lots to bring you, so there's lots to talk about. You can text us 81771, or you can tweet us directly to College Green here in London at BBC Radio Ulster. This is Evening Extra, live for the next 2 hours. But first, the BBC News across Northern Ireland with Amy Murray.
Thanks, Declan.
We have a new Prime Minister. Liz Truss has been to see the Queen in Balmoral in Scotland, where the monarch asked her to form a new administration, and she accepted. Her now predecessor, Boris Johnson, resigned around lunchtime after his farewell address to the nation from Downing Street this morning. Ms. Truss then boarded a flight and is currently making her way back to Westminster. Her jet has just landed at RAF Northolt. The stairs are down, so we think she will be disembarking shortly. It means that she's made a 1,000-mile round trip today. No doubt, while on that plane, she was working on her cabinet appointments and finalising her speech that she is due to make in the next half hour. We think these things do slip. We hope to bring you that live. Well, someone else who has been on a flight and made their way to Westminster is Declan, who's on College Green for us today. Hi, Declan. What's it like there? Anticipation in the air?
Yeah, it's got that sense of big news about to happen. First of all, it's a very muggy evening in the West End of London this evening. We're expecting a mix of clear blue skies, which are at the moment, and then torrential downpours. And maybe that's a sign of something, I don't know. But I mean, on College Green, and we're used to this scene on big political days, and today is no different. There's a whole run, 11 or so, of white tents here with the world's media stacked up, all delivering the news, both of what's already happened today, that we have the 56th Prime Minister of the United Kingdom appointed, but the news that is to come. This is the cabinet announcements, and we'll explore that in due course, because we're not sure on the time scale of that. As you said, I mean, this seems to be shifting around, you know, minute by minute, hour by hour here. But yeah, so anticipation is here, but there are lots of big names around here. You'd notice all the people from the international television and radio, John Sobel and Emily Maitlis, are walking around here. Some senior MPs as well, some of our own MPs. We've been speaking to a few of them. We're going to be joined by more of them here on College Green in the next 2 hours as well. And there's lots to talk about, not just what does Liz Truss mean for Northern Ireland, but what could a new Secretary of State mean for Northern Ireland? And there is a name circulating above all others this evening, so we will bring that to you shortly. There have been concerns raised potentially about her cabinet and how much experience there might be among her ranks of relatively new faces. And of course, the issue of Northern Ireland and what will be done about the Northern Ireland Protocol, and is Liz Truss the woman to do it? So yeah, let's take a step back though before we get into all of that and hear from our first guest here in Westminster. This is Catherine Haddon. She's from the Institute for Government, and she's been stepping me through just how much work will be going on behind the scenes right now.
A huge amount, and that's because of the nature of this particular transition. You know, even during a general election campaign, there is a certain amount of preparation that goes on by the political parties, even though they're busy campaigning, but also by the civil service. Here, because it's a leadership campaign within the governing party, in some ways it makes it easier, in some ways harder. It's easier because access talks with the civil service granted by the Prime Minister, it's a little bit easier to do when they're part of your own party, and particularly with Liz Truss, when it's somebody Boris Johnson was relatively supportive towards. It's harder partly because there's been less time for the candidates really to sort of sit and think about what they would actually do in government. It's one thing campaigning to get into the job, but the actual plans for governments are much harder. And you need that access time with the civil service to understand the sort of detail of, you know, what's going on, the economic outlook, but also the feasibility of the various ideas that would have been rolling around all summer about what to do on energy prices.
It's interesting because she's got a cabinet to appoint today, but she also has a speech to deliver. She's been up and down to Scotland today, and she's got all the initial business of Prime Minister. Been given access to high levels of security information, those letters, those nuclear submarine letters that she writes to the captains of the subs in case the government is destroyed. By any reckoning, this is one heck of an afternoon for Liz Truss.
It really is. I mean, the Cabinet Secretary...
The rumour going around Westminster now will probably be accurate, and that Chris Heaton-Harris seems to be the man who will be our next Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. And the reason that he's interesting is that because he was essentially Liz Truss's protocol point man while she was the Foreign Secretary. He was the man involved in the negotiations with Brussels. So he's right across the protocol, and he's very much on the same page as Liz Truss when it comes to those negotiations.
Yeah, and
he's also a former MEP as well, which is interesting because he will know his way around Brussels too. Mm. And he has another very important qualification, Declan. He's a qualified referee. So goodness me, couldn't we do with somebody
soccer,
like that
soccer
in Northern Ireland?
Referee.
Yes, a soccer referee. So he will be well used to marshalling sides, if you like, and maybe penalising someone.
Well, he might think he is, but we'll see.
Well, who knows?
Sorry, Richard.
Someone, it seems, or would appear, has already amended his Wikipedia page. It talks about him being a football referee, but says he's a lifelong Dungannon fan. But we have been here before.
Yeah,
we have been here before.
Do you remember when Karen Bradley was made Secretary of State, and almost before the announcement came out, the Wikipedia entry was just saying that she was a member of, I think it was the Orange Order at the time,
and
it was completely
and same for Shailesh Farah as well. He fell victim to the same
part owner in a North Belfast football club, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, listen, right. Gents, we do have an update. We're just watching the pictures from the helicopter here. Liz Truss making her way to Westminster. The latest that we're hearing is that it will take her around 30 to 40 minutes to complete that journey. When she arrives, she is expected to get out of the car, make her speech outside number 10 immediately. That is expected to happen at around 10 to 5 now, but we will be back with you both just after 5:30.
So I'm right outside the Houses of Parliament. Downing Street is almost exactly half a mile due north of me, and I'm not making this up. There is a very distinct dark cloud forming over Downing Street. Now, I'm not saying we should read anything into that, far from it. I'm simply giving you a bird's eye weather report. But Barry Best, I think, is standing by. He's got much more detail than I have.
Yes, well, I'm looking at the latest radar picture over the London area. I can tell you, Declan, that there is a shower at the minute which is heading northwards towards the Westminster area. At the minute, it has some red blobs on it, which indicates that they are very heavy, potentially. There could even be a rumble of thunder, but it is a shower. So if it does hit, it should pass within a minute or two, and then there's drier weather following behind. But yes, I think the black cloud you see at the minute could be that shower that's heading way northwards. So we'll know in a few minutes' time.
This has been a very interesting summer, albeit if we have kind of gotten to the point where this new Prime Minister is, in a sense, a continuity candidate. Anne Widdecombe has just walked past me here on College Green. Our producer has scampered across the grass. She said she'll come and talk to us in a short time. We hope she will. But she's not the only former Cabinet Secretary who's been mulling around here at the foot of Big Ben all day. And one of them is John Whittingdale. You'll remember, as a Conservative, he is the former Culture, Media and Sport Secretary. We got talking earlier. I asked him whether he fancies a spot in Liz Truss's new cabinet.
I mean, I'm delighted that Liz Truss won the contest. I was supporting her. However, I don't think one can underestimate the scale of a challenge that faces a new Prime Minister. We are looking at extraordinary challenges in terms of things like the cost of living, the war in Ukraine, climate change. I mean, the in-tray is very full, and that is why I welcome the fact that the government has made it clear that there will be very rapid action to provide people with the assurances they need.
Would you ever want to serve in a Liz Truss cabinet?
I mean, I've been in and out of government a couple of times already. I'm not sitting by my telephone because if people who do that are usually disappointed. But yes, I mean, if I'm asked to do the job.
John Whittingdale was saying there that those who sit around waiting for the phone to ring tend to be disappointed. And today, not too many phones ringing. There's a sense that this has been pinned down I don't know if can you hear that
oh,
rain?
I can hear that. We're all smiling here in the studio.
Listen, here, I got to tell you, we have managed to nab ourselves a tent because not all the broadcasters who paid for tents have turned up to tents.
Just don't tell our colleagues in Bloomberg.
Just don't tell our colleagues in Bloomberg. Well, Bloomberg haven't felt that they should show up, but my God, are we glad that Bloomberg haven't turned up here today.
I think they may be operating on a different time zone, and I think we perhaps have cashed in on that today.
I mean, Richard, if it's raining this heavily here, you can see the screens. They must be being soaked up on Downing Street.
Yeah, Downing Street is a sea of umbrellas now. The journalists, the camera crews, the photographers, MPs huddling under umbrellas, sharing umbrellas. The lectern outside Downing Street, a black bin liner had been placed over it. That was then taken away, but it has now been placed over the lectern, the podium, once again, because, you can hear why. You can hear why. Plenty of people with very wet suits. So I'm not sure this is going to happen outside because, the podium has just been taken away. It's been removed. Yeah. So
I mean, the rain here is bouncing off the footpath. Yeah, no, the rain here is bouncing off the footpath. But as Barry said, this could be a shower. And look, everyone's going to wait to hear what the new Prime Minister has to say anyway, even if it does only last 3 minutes. And you were saying this will be purposely broad brush strokes. You know, we're not going to get any major revelations in the rain, are we?
We're not waiting in tenderhooks to get the detail of some sort of energy saving scheme she's going to announce on Thursday. But I do know that contingency plans have already been scoped out, if you like, for an indoor speech by Liz Truss. And that is what we might get, Declan, if this weather keeps up, because I can't see her stepping out of the car into a torrential downpour to try and deliver a speech, albeit just 3 minutes she will have to stand there.
And
so
actually,
I would imagine we might be falling back to plan B.
The rain is so heavy that the helicopter following the motorcade, it is now almost difficult to see the vehicles and moving through
I mean,
Central
we know
London.
Richard. We know. We're in it, Richard. But thanks for your description there.
Well,
how heavy the rain is.
You're in the thick of it in Westminster in that rain. We can hear it. Let's check what it's like closer to home with Barra Best. It's not like that, is it, Barra?
If you're an event planner, this is about the worst case scenario for you, that you've everyone in place and then there is a torrential downpour. So this is certainly going to play with the timings a little bit. We also hope that it's not going to put too many people away from coming to speak to us here, because there's a lot of people who have agreed to do so. We're going to hear a little bit later on from Gavin Robinson at the DUP. We're going to hear from Colm Eastwood. And in fact, someone might give me a shout in my ear if we want to do that sooner rather than later while we're waiting for the rain to pass.
Well, I think we can actually hear that interview with the SDLP leader, Colm Eastwood. You asked him, Declan, what he thinks about the new Prime Minister, Liz Truss.
I think any day that re-establishes a Tory government will end up being a bad day for Northern Ireland.
And we are expecting that speech to be no longer than 3 minutes. And we can hear the helicopter above Declan, who is in Westminster College Green for us. Declan.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether that's a news helicopter or a Metropolitan Police helicopter, but it's one of them. So that's a good indicator that the Prime Minister is close. Welcome to College Green. We are right outside the Houses of Parliament and just less than half a mile away, really. Liz Truss is due to arrive. We're going to spend the time waiting for the Prime Minister. Speaking to your former Cabinet Secretary, or a member of the Cabinet, Anne Widdecombe. How long were you? You were 20-odd years in the Commons, certainly.
I was 23 years in the Commons, yes. Yeah, 7 of them in office under John Major, 3 in opposition under William Hague, and the rest of the time, obviously, on the backbenches.
Do you wish you were in the throes of it now?
God, I thank him every day that I am not there.
Why so?
Well, I can't imagine any lunatic wanting to be there now. I mean, first of all, the challenges are enormous. That would be fine if there was a united, disciplined army facing those challenges, but there isn't. The Conservative Parliamentary Party is very fractious. It's very, very factionalised. I would have welcomed cooperation around, now, how do we do that, instead of resistance.
A weak Prime Minister then, Boris Johnson, does he think that's where we are in the position we are with the protocol? Or a naive Prime Minister?
I don't think he was weak, and I think the opposite of Boris, but I think that he, having done the deal, was in a very awkward position of trying to unstitch it.
And I'm going to interrupt you, and thank you for stopping by here at College Green. The helicopter's right above our head, which indicates that the Prime Minister's car is now pulled in through those black gates at Downing Street. Richard, I'm going to cross to you, because you've got screens in front of you. You'll have a much greater sense of exactly what's happening.
The car has pulled up. The doors are being opened. Liz Truss has emerged from the 4x4 Land Rover. Applause from MPs, some of whom will have been her supporters, others who will not have been her supporters. Journalists filming her arrival, camera crews following that walk up to the lectern, the black folder in her hands with the short speech. She is standing at the lectern now, and she is about to make her first address as Prime Minister.
I have just accepted Her Majesty the Queen's kind invitation.
Welcome at this point on College Green. Gavin Robinson from the DUP, who's joined us. I'm sure feeling pleased with himself in a waterproof jacket, because we can't
certainly
all
need it.
We can't all claim to have such foresight.
Why is it, Declan, when I'm in Belfast I can call in, but when I'm in London I have to get wet?
Well, listen, it's not just the way of it. You know, it's a glamorous life, this political life. Good to see you, Gavin. There's one thing missing off that list of three priorities, isn't there? Liz Truss hasn't made, in her top three priorities, the Northern Ireland Protocol. Where is it?
Well, I didn't hear all of it, but I'll take your word for it. What we do know of Liz Truss is that she was the minister responsible for the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill, that she has been the minister responsible for the negotiations over the last 68 months from her appointment as Foreign Secretary. So she knows the issues. She knows how important they are to Northern Ireland. She knows how important they are to the Union. I think Enda fairly reflected that it was a short speech. It was expected to be a short speech, but I don't see that as a diminution of focus on the issues that we know are pervading Northern Ireland and political stability at home.
But we've heard so much about the DUP being in Westminster. Sir Geoffrey Donaldson has remained here in order to be at the door, to bang on it, to put Northern Ireland in the centre of the table. And it's clearly, based on that, the first speech from the new Prime Minister, not one of her top three priorities. Have you failed to convince her to prioritise this more?
No, and I don't think we need to look at it in such a pessimistic way. We have a bill that
she's got a small majority, really, and it could be very tricky for her.
Yes or no answer. This is the last one. Have we seen the last of Boris Johnson in political life?
Absolutely not.
All right, then go on and explain that.
I don't think he can resist it. I think for now he'll take a back seat and support Liz Truss as he says he's going to do, but he's always going to be tempted to come back.
Yeah. Did you recognise the Cincinnatius quote that he gave earlier? Lots of people didn't, so he referenced the former Roman dictator from 450 BC who went in, did a job, saved the city, and then went back to his farm. But legend goes that he did, in fact, come back to power later, but that's disputed by experts.
I'm not an expert, but I was glad that there are plenty of them on Twitter this morning.
As was I. It just allowed me to do that. Harry Lyon, thank you very much. Chief Political Correspondent for the Daily Mail. Richard, there's lots more to come here in Westminster between now and 6 o'clock. Stephen Farry from the Alliance has just arrived. He's sheltering in our little corner of College Green. We'll speak to him shortly.
Well, I do see Christopher Hope from the Daily Telegraph tweeting that he has just spotted the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Shailesh Varo, on his way to Liz Truss's office in Parliament, and Christopher Hope saying it looks ominous.
They call Westminster a village. It doesn't feel much like a village when you're here, but if it is a village, it is buzzing this evening with expectation, a bit like the start of term. You know, what kind of leader is Liz Truss going to be? Who is going to be in her cabinet? She is the accountant who stood pretending to be Margaret Thatcher in a primary school election, the George Michael fan who was once a Liberal Democrat, the mother of two once described as a precocious child who'd step on your foot and not apologise. They were the words of her brother. But she now has the keys to number 10, and whatever your view, she has arrived here not off the back of a general election, but as some might see it, as a continuity candidate. But there is hope from a lot of political parties here. We've been speaking to them here on College Green this evening that this might be a sense of new impetus, a new start, particularly when you look at the Northern Ireland Protocol. Now, Anne Widdecombe, who dropped by, said she wouldn't want to be in government right now for all the tea in China. Bernard Jenkins said that the in-tray of Liz Truss this evening is like five horsemen of the apocalypse coming straight for her. But she's made her three priorities clear. Get Britain working again, sort out the energy crisis, and look at the problems in the health service. What wasn't included by Liz Truss was the Northern Ireland Protocol and getting Stormont back up and running. But we'll have to see what the next few days and weeks bring. It is the start of a new period of British politics. This is the 56th Prime Minister. I'm sure she'll catch her breath at some point this evening, but right now she is calling in the old cabinet, sacking the old faces that are left, and over the next few hours we'll start getting the new names, including the new Secretary of State for Northern Ireland.